fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and continuing to make my way through the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. Just precious teaching from the Holy Spirit, really. It's precious teaching from the beloved apostle who gives to us great insight to the drama. What was at the core of the drama? That he himself, as disciple of Jesus, an apostle standing with Jesus, as he goes through in this section of the Gospel, John gives us an account of the intense confrontation that existed between Jesus and the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and the confrontation that John situates right in the temple itself. The temple's filled with worshipers who've come, they're present, and they're also hearing this unfolding drama. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I've been looking at this chapter over the last week and a half. I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The shows are all archived there. You can listen to them right on the computer or download them on whatever device you use to be able to listen to them at your own leisure. But the reason I'm going through is not only just to see the drama of it, but to understand a great deal is being revealed about Jesus, a great deal is being revealed about the religious leaders, and a great deal is being revealed about you and me, about the human condition. Put yourself in this situation, a very busy temple situation. The religious leaders confront Jesus. Men are standing around listening to this confrontation, and among them are first, again, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders who have rejected him, and they're resisting him, and they're plotting against him. And then there's other Jewish people there who have become believers. They've accepted Jesus' word, and they're becoming disciples. They're becoming followers of Jesus because they're internalizing the life-transforming word that comes from Christ. So this is the moment, and it's really heating up, and it's going to get more intense than you can imagine. If you just hang on through the rest of this chapter, we'll get at it hopefully through Friday. So Jesus said to them, as I mentioned yesterday, to those who have received his word, he said, okay, if you continue now in my word, in the word that he gave, he said, unless you believe in me, you will not gain eternal life. He told the Pharisees directly. He said to them, essentially, because you resist me, because you don't believe in the word that I'm bringing to you directly from my Father in heaven, and you say no to it, you're going to die in your sins. I won't cover that again today. If you're interested in what that means, that particular Jesus's words to them about dying in their sins, you can go back to the archive programs that are there. It's important because those words apply directly to us as well. But today, I really want to touch on where Jesus said, if you continue in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we talked yesterday about how the Pharisees responded to that, and they said, wait a minute, are you trying to tell us, we're sons of Abraham, you're trying to tell us that we're not free? We've never been in bondage to anything. They're blind to the reality of their own sin. Jesus is talking about the deepest enslavement of the human heart, which is the sin-sick condition of the human heart that resists God's total plan and purpose. And the contrast between the religious leaders and the person of Jesus, who is the truth standing right in front of them. Jesus is just the opposite. He's absolutely, completely surrendered to the will of God. And he tries to tell the religious leaders, he said, look, I do whatever pleases the Lord, the Father. That's my food. That's what life's about. And you should be doing the same thing, and you're not. In living color, in the flesh, God's son. Every one of us is called to be a son or daughter of God. We're made to do just what Jesus is doing. He's living in the world completely surrendered to God the Father. That's a disciple. That's what he really wants in his heart. It's not just an external responsibility or duty that he simply would rather not do. But he's saying, look into your own heart. This isn't in you. You're not willing to live this way. And think about your life and mine, friend. Even us who've been baptized, who've lived in the church, how often the battle to resist God's will, to yield to our flesh, to live for pleasure and securing our own comfort and insisting on our own way and making ourselves the center of everything, That's a strong drive that's present in us. And that same drive is in the Pharisees, and he looks at them and he looks at us. Put yourself right in that circle of people, in that unfolding drama. Look at the difference between you and Jesus. In Jesus is the revelation, is the manifestation of how you and I, you and me, how we were meant to live, to belong to another, to belong to God, to have as the reason for my life, the purpose of my life, what moves my heart, what gets me out of bed in the morning, is to belong to him. And whatever walk of life I'm in, whatever work, whatever vocation, first things first, I belong to him. So Jesus is saying, Jesus, who is the truth now, he reveals the truth about what we're called to be. And he's saying, if you take in my word, if you believe what I'm telling you, and you trust me with your whole life, I will lead you to absolute freedom, the freedom that you do not yet know. In fact, no one in this world knows it except me, Jesus said. He's living in total freedom. Freedom for what? Freedom for the truth. Freedom to do the truth. To say yes to the truth. Now, friends, we're living in a time when the world is at war with the truth. In some ways, it's always present. That's why Jesus had to come to seek and save the lost, because we live in a fallen world. The world resists God. The world doesn't want to think about God. Humanity, the best and many of the best and brightest among us, are fashioning a worldview that says there is no God and God doesn't exist, that all of this is an accident. All the beauty of God's creation, all the longing in the human heart for transcendent reality that's present and has always been present, it's all ignored. It's all silenced. It's all pushed away. All the truth that's right in front of our face. The world conniving with the enemy, whether they know it or not, there are powers at work, the world, the flesh, and the devil. These three powers are bigger and stronger than every single human being apart from Christ. That's a fact. And these powers connive together to literally put God in eclipse, to drive God out of, away from, as Pope Benedict XVI described, as to push God from the human horizon, to empty Christ of his significance and his rightful claim over us. We reject the truth. There's a beautiful book I've touched on a few times over the years, a retreat that Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI, gave to a group of lay folks, part of a lay movement. I think it was the Neo-Catechumen, if I'm not mistaken, many years ago. But he's describing what he says is the constant battle in human history, the drama that's unfolding. And it's revealed in Romans chapter 1, the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, where in verse 16 and following, Paul makes clear that God's wrath, that is, God's righteousness and our experience of God's rule and his dominion and the justice that is due God, we experience God's love even in the truth of God's purpose as wrath because we're fighting against it. And so God's judgment will come on us and our own words and our own deeds if we haven't said yes to the revelation of Jesus Christ, revealed to us the sin-sick condition of our heart and our resistance to God. And so, therefore, God's wrath, God's judgment comes against us because we decide we want to stand against him. And so Paul said the fundamental problem in the human heart is we suppress the truth about God. We don't want the light which comes from God. Jesus said it in the third chapter of John's Gospel. He said, the passage everybody knows in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. He said that life is God's grace and gift he wants to bring to everyone who believes in him. But he said Men prefer darkness to light. We want to be in control. We want to cling to our own idols, our own purpose, our own plan, our shaping of the truth. So in order to do that, we suppress the truth about God. And it gets expressed in this way. Acknowledgement of the truth of God is to, as Paul says, to acknowledge God as God. You're God and I'm not. And to give him thanks. Thanks for making us. Thanks for shaping us. Thank you for all that he's created for his glory. We refuse to do that. So much so, as I was saying, you know, many of the biggest and brightest among us, best and brightest among us, intellectually and otherwise, are saying there is no such thing as God. The atheist Christopher Hitchens, who died a couple of years ago, wrote his book, God is Not Great. There is no great God. That's the human heart conniving with the world and with satanic temptation to obliterate God. So Paul says there's consequences to that. And you can read it in that section, the first chapter of Romans. And what gets revealed is, he said, God gives human beings the freedom to resist him. So he gives us over to our insistence that we're going to commit idolatry. That is, we're not going to give God the worship that belongs to him. We're going another way. We're going to live our own truth. And so here's some things that I'd like to end the program today, just beginning to reflect on what Cardinal Ratzinger had said to these young folks on this retreat. He says, human beings oppose the truth that would demand submission of them. Submission in the form of honoring God and giving God thanks. For Paul, the moral collapse of society is merely the logical consequence and the exact mirror image of this fundamental perversion. Paul's describing in that section, he said, when God lets us have our way and we insist on it, we lose hold of reality itself. Because we've denied the ground of reality, who is God, we deny the truth which comes from God, and it affects us profoundly, deep within. And one of the first things he describes is human beings lose hold of their own sexual identity. Men start having sexual desire for men, women for women, it says, and we can't even see the fundamental purpose of the whole human reproductive system, what sex is for, and fulfilling God's, and imaging God, male and female together. There's a ton there that I could spend a whole month talking about. But it begins there, but then all kinds of sins, Paul reveals, anger, lust, bitterness, hatred, all of that is present. That's what comes from rejecting God's truth, refusing to live under God's grace and God's authority and God's anointing, and it releases in the human heart intense rebellion, and it leaves us as slaves, even though we declare our own truth, and we say, I'm the master of my own life. I'm going to define reality on my terms. What could be more free than that? I'm the center of my own reality. But in fact, it's profound slavery. And I'm going to begin tomorrow's program with a deeper reflection on what Cardinal Ratzinger is saying here about the consequences and how it unfolds. It's very insightful and speaks wisdom into the human experience that we're seeing all around us and maybe we're struggling with very deeply in our own lives. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.